Eli.
Good morning.
Are you two, Tim and Travis, impressed that Eli shot a 72 the other day when we played golf?
Is that good or bad?
That's really
what's
good.
What's the par? I need to know the par.
What do you think par is?
Well, first off, you just asked, what's the par?
What do you think par is on an average golf course?
There's 18 holes on an average. Do you shoot 18 or do you shoot 9?
I'd say 18.
Three.
If you're going to play a round of golf, you'll play all 18.
Seven or eight.
I'd say on average there's like 3 par per hole.
Just hold on.
Hold on. Just let him keep talking.
Yeah, go ahead.
So.
Look, he has no idea. 18 times 3.
Let him go.
18 times 3.
3 what? What's 3 what again?
3 par.
I don't
which
see
is like
any
the
clicking over there, Tim.
Of hitting the hole, the ball in the hole. So I'd say 54. Let's add a couple, maybe 4 holes have 4 par. 58. 58 would be the average par per golf course holes.
You're like a chick. Had a couple. There's a couple 4 par.
We need to have him explain just things.
I will say I don't know
what
it is, Tim, but pretty much every time Tim comes on, something pretty funny happens.
Three is par. What is the par?
No, he said the par is about 58.
The par is about 58.
That's what I'd say in an average course.
I think you're funny, Tim.
So by that logic, though, shooting 72,
right?
I'm not that impressed.
You know what? By that logic, I think you're probably right.
By those facts, that's not a fact.
Tell
you
what, Tim. I'll make this easy on you. I'll teach you some basics here. The average par for an 18-hole golf course is, in fact, 72.
Oh, well, I wasn't that far off.
Yeah, your ways, but it's generally a mix of par 3, or what do you say? Par, 3 par?
Yeah.
3 par, 4 par, and 5 par.
An average for the regular hole is not 3 par.
How many yards do you think an average 5 par is? Like a mile?
So do they judge par based? Well, the putting has to, let's see. I don't know, like 157 yards?
I don't know.
It's a good strong 9-iron.
What do you think you just said? How far do you think a good golfer like Eli can wallop a golf ball? How many yards? With his longest...
Just like for the first driver?
Yeah.
For the first driver.
He's looking at Eli. How many? Gonna help him. He's
I
like,
don't know.
He's looking
at his waist. Right. Like,
he's pretty solid.
Yeah.
What do the pros hit?
No.
Eli, I would give 132.
132 yards. For his driver.
For the first hit.
What if I told you, Tim, that Eli can hit the ball over 300
football fields. Three football fields.
Over 3 football fields.
With one swing.
I wouldn't believe you.
Well, it's the truth. He can do that. And he can also shoot 72, which is an incredible golf score. That's even par.
Jordan.
So that's the average 5 par?
Actually, it's 2 over at Stevens Park, but...
Oh, is it? Was it Stevens?
Stevens is a par 70.
Par 70? Yeah. Yeah, so some of them are par 70, 71, 72. Anyway, the average 5 par is usually, I don't know, 480 to 530 yards or something like that.
We need to find other things he doesn't know about and have them have him explain.
I fear that it's everything other than Dota 2. You're the man, Tim.
I've never played golf before. So.
No way.
No, I never played golf.
All right, at the beginning of the O-Deck, I'm going to have him explain something else.
Okay, yeah, think of it. I love it. Right. He might know it, though.
It is time for the O-Deck, and we have been given a gift early this morning already. An incredible talent by Tim, the producer, his ability to explain things. I will be going into the story momentarily about the doggy slash fist fight that I got into a Whole Foods parking lot recently. But first, we need to go back to Tim.
Okay.
Who did a really great job explaining the game of golf to us. His ability to explain things is, it's an incredible power.
I don't even know.
He 58 par is right. What he settled on as being the average.
He mentioned that every hole has an average par of the three, and therefore a good score would be 54 for 18 holes. What else?
He guessed a par five was about 138 yards. 158, I think you said.
Tim, can you read me?
Yes, sir.
Do you play tennis, Tim?
Yeah.
You do?
I have a racket. Yeah.
Okay. So do you know how the game is scored?
Yeah, I watch tennis.
All right, so how many points do you need to win a game?
Well, you need to win three sets.
Yeah, but a game.
Oh, just like the game set
and match. You and I are playing a game.
You need six.
Six?
You need to win six sets in that game, however the verbiage is.
Well, I think that's what
Not
we're trying.
Bad.
I think that's
like,
what we're trying.
Like 40.
I'm sorry?
They do it by 40, which is really like, what, 4 points, how they do the 40 love, whatever
He's,
British
I think the Metroplex is now seeing, if you didn't listen to the segment a few minutes ago, now you're seeing exactly what we're talking about. Tim's ability to break down the minutiae of a sport is fascinating. So you need 40 points to win a game? If you and I are playing and we're starting the match.
Well, you don't like score 40 because they actually do it. I think it started with a clock, and that's how they did their scoring. That's why it goes from, like, 10...
How would the clock fit into to the sport?
Because back in the day, they didn't have a scoreboard, so they did it by... I could be making all of this up. Disclaimer.
Uh-huh.
But they did it by, like, the hand of the clock to keep the score. And that's why they have the goofy scoring in tennis, where it's like 15 love.
So in other words, you hit a ball for a... First 15 minutes? How does
See,
that...
No, you're doing him wrong, because he's got this pretty much right.
That's okay, it's a good point. But how many points do you need to claim the first game of the match? Let's say I win the first point. What's the score?
10.
10?
10 nothing, right.
10 nothing.
It's like the one... Yeah, just... Do you want to describe it like a normal person would? That would be 1 nothing. It would be 1 point. But
like,
because
like a normal person. We're starting the match. I serve to you. I win the first point. It's 10 what?
Nothing.
10 nothing.
10 love. As
10 love. Okay, good. So now I win the second point. What's the score now?
I think 15. 15 love.
15 love. So how come it's half as important, the second point?
I don't know. I don't know.
It is the weirdest scoring system in all of sports.
Because then I think it goes right to 40.
You're fixated on this 40.
Well, he's right.
It's like the max. So then you go to 40, and then if I tie it, then you go 40-40, and then you have to have the advantage.
What's another word for 40-40 within a set or within a game?
Within a game. We're tied at 40.
Isn't it deuce?
The least confidence deuce ever. Tim, I'd like to thank you for your service. We're going to probably come back to this momentarily.
It's 15 love, by the way, the first point.
Oh, 15 love.
15 love, then 30 love.
30 and then 40.
And then 40. Yeah.
All right.
And then maybe deuce.
And I don't think
maybe
the
deuce.
Clock has then, anything to do with it.
No, originally it did.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, see? I read it somewhere.
All right.
I'm a wealth of knowledge.
Tim, it's delicious.
What do you think that means?
What's cold press coffee, Tim?
Well, hot pressed is when you put it in the French press and you press it, so it would just be cold.
Ding, ding.
That's not right. That's close. Way closer than you are with tennis.
I didn't know that one, in fairness. I have no idea.
Tim, you ever been on a Gravitron?
No. I don't trust gravity.
Thanks, Tim. Back to you, Mike.
I just want to stay with Tim. Okay, maybe we'll get clarification on yet another of Tim's insane opinions. Gravity is a fact, by the way, if we are arguing facts and fiction.
Puppies
are
cute.
Trust, just because it's a fact doesn't mean you can trust it.
Hell yeah.
Shut up, Tim.
Tim, you know why? You know why, Tim? You know why, Travis?
Why is the best
Eli?
Holiday of the year?
Labor Day?
30 seconds on Labor Day.
We don't work.
Well, we work.
We work. Normal people don't work. College football. I'm sure it had something to do with unions back in the day. They probably all did like a union thing and voted for one day where they didn't have to work. which would be Labor Day. So we honor those who don't have to work.
Yes.
Back to you, Mike.
True. And actually, just as he did with tennis, pretty much right.
Kind of killed it.
Pretty much right, Tim.
Absolutely.
He took the scenic route. Tim, what happens to your innards when you're on a machine like that at a fair?
Well, they move with you. But I think the reason you get sick is because of, like, your ears.
Yeah.
Like inner ear, and that's what gets you dizzy.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
Leaks down your esophagus.
Another good
burns
one.
Your inner.
Hey, Tim, how long do you think you tread water?
Are we talking in a pool, or are we talking live water?
I'd say...
Define live water.
I'd say live water.
Water with living things in it. It's off the coast of Madagascar, by the way. That's where they were.
Oh, okay. So not South Pacific. My bad.
I think I could tread in a pool.
This is going to be a long guess. Watch.
I mean, on a good day, if for survival, I would probably say...
Hold on. Why are you on a good day for survival in a pool?
Well, if he's carved up.
Right.
Good night's sleep in a pool?
If we're at a barbecue, probably less because I just ate.
Why would you be treading water for survival in a pool?
Maybe as everyone's gone and
get out of the pool.
And there's no ladder.
Yeah. I would 15, 20 minutes? Is that a lot?
No, you can go long.
Oh god, I got cramps.
You can go longer than that, I think. You got to learn to float on your back, too, like Baba taught us.
Because salt water also helps you float, though. So if I was in the ocean...
If you're in the Dead Sea...
Probably 45 minutes in the ocean?
Science. In live water?
Because the salt will help me float, so I don't have to try as much.
That's true. Hottest woman in the world.
Scarlett Johansson.
Cliche.
My fiance.
We are receiving a lot of really positive feedback, and we're going to have a fat audio segment. What am I saying? Fat audio segment coming up right here in a moment, including some fresh Flula audio, which is why friend of the show Flula, that bump was played. But we're getting a lot of really positive feedback on Tim explaining things. And so I'd like to take the opportunity before we get into the audio today to have Tim 30 seconds on Colin Kaepernick's national anthem protest, please.
He sat down the second pregame, some pregame game, because he did not agree with the way the United States treat the African American. And in protest, he decided to sit down. He now has an afro to support that cause. And, yeah. I just saw on the news, I guess it's creating a rift in the employee workplace of the 49ers. That's basically it.
Thank you, Tim. You
know. Thanks, Timmy.
I'm not sure he got the afro
to support that.
But that's neither here nor there.
Well, yes.
Tim, 30 seconds on the end of World War II.
Oh, on the end?
That's right.
Well, we got involved. We went over there. We dropped a bomb on Japan. So that knocked them out of the race. So then we went and excavated the concentration camps. And that's it.
Like a dinosaur's fossils?
Yeah, we excavated them.
Or liberated. That's the official wording.
What happened to Hitler?
He killed himself. They say.
Oh, it's a conspiracy?
Well, they never found the body. They say, though, that he's buried in Germany, but the government knows, but they don't tell people. That's just what I hear.
Tim, pretty much right.
Kind of right.
Minus the excavation.
The fishtailing when he's on his way there is,
I mean, in fairness, you're just springing this stuff on him. You just asked him a World War II question, and he tapped it back to the mound, got thrown out, but he made contact.
Thank you, Tim.
That was more Tim facts. All right, Cash, you have some more inquiries for...
Thank you for listening to us so far today. Our producer, Tim, has struck a chord with P1s who find his ability to explain things fascinating.
It's like he really makes it easy to understand.
Yes.
Doesn't complex matter what it issues.
Is. He's explained golf, tennis, gravity, Labor Day, and the end of World War II. And so we're fielding questions still, and you know, we appreciate your input, and it's coming in hard, fast, and heavy. And so, Tim, do you have a moment for us real quick?
Yeah, sure.
You busy in there?
No.
I'd like, Tim, you to explain how the internal combustion engine works.
What do we use that for?
Boom.
First? Is that space? Do we use that in spaceships?
No.
I'd say cars would be the...
Yeah, it's the engine...
The
in,
most common thing that...
Engine in your car.
That sounds like a very big engine for a car, but...
What? You're saying an internal... Just okay.
Think an it, internally... Think it I mean, that sounds like Back to the Future.
Okay.
But I would say... Man, you know...
Just explain
I,
how your car
thought,
engine
When
works.
I thought it was for a spaceship, I had a pretty good idea how something can internally combust... For a car,
yeah, because
doesn't seem very safe.
Right, because it's so such a massive thing that everybody's
would
car
assume,
would blow up if they had one of these in their car.
I assume it's inside of the actual engine itself, and that is what helps the pistons go up and down. Because it's internal, so it's not combusting outside of the engine, because it's internal, which is where the pistons would move.
How does he do this? How does he...
He kind of gets them all right.
How does he get there eventually? God, you're fascinating.
It is the engine, the internal combustion engine. It's not inside the engine. I mean, it is the engine.
Every engine in every car is an internal combustion engine.
See? I didn't know that. We get there.
We get there.
Genius.
Wow. We get there.
All right. God, you're,
that's
you're
correct.
So good at this.
That's
I
correct.
I think we've stumbled on something.
He's
here.
10-0.
So anyway, the interview now, just don't worry about it. The interview now is out on Circa. So if you search C-I-R-C-A. Cardinal Dolan, Pope Mobile, my name, any of those things, you will find this interview.
Pretty cool.
It was so really cash. Cool. And the guy meeting the Cardinal was like meeting Babe Ruth. Like, we all had to wait for him. The car was ready. The production people were there. And the door opens and out comes this guy. And he's fat. And he is gregarious and so friendly.
Oh, wait.
And it is just like... It's like a cartoon come to life.
Yeah.
He is just oozing goodness. And I felt like I was in the presence of Babe Ruth. And he just shook my hand and met me as if we'd been old friends. And we sit down in the car and we start having a wide-ranging killer interview about how he goes to baseball games and, you know, has a couple beers and a couple of dogs and just does regular guy stuff and plays with his grandkids.
So are you talking about... Like the church cardinal?
I'm sorry, what did you think I was talking about?
Nothing.
Did you think I was talking about a bird?
I thought you were talking about a baseball player. I thought you were with a baseball player from the St. Louis Cardinals who was a Catholic.
No, I'm talking about... I mentioned Pope several times.
Baseball.
But
I mean,
if you're Catholic, you're near the Pope.
I mean, Jack Clark is not going to be Pope
station,
one day.
So I thought you were with a St. Louis Cardinal. And it all just came flushing over me that you were not talking about a baseball player, Cardinal.
No, no. At no point.
No.
It wasn't Yadier Molina.
Fun fact,
I
Cardinal...
this Tim guy was like a pitcher or something.
This Tim guy could be Pope one day. And, strangely enough, was a Cardinals fan growing up, and
oh.
His sports moment...
Maybe that's what he was thinking.
His favorite sports
Whoa.
Moment was meeting Stan Musial in an airport.
Tim, I'd like to invite you to jump in on absolutely anything we say anytime
together.
We ever have a show again, okay? And I mean that. Just mic on and go.
Absolutely.
All right, Tim, what's the job of the Pope?
He is the head of the Catholic Church. Lives in the Vatican, which is, I don't know, somewhere near Italy. It's its own city. But I think it's like a Washington, D.C. kind of thing. Where it's like it's its own city, but not, you know, D.C. is like it's a state, but it's not a state. I think it's kind of like a city, but not a country. something like that. It's got its own postal, so whatever that makes it. He travels. I don't know what the job is. I know he's the head of the Catholic Church. I don't know if it's much of a job. It's just what he does.
11 for 11. Basically right. What,
he's unstoppable.
He liked this gig?
He travels.
They've got their own postcard.
Correct again.
So if I wanted to send a postcard to Pope Francis, where would I send it?
You would send it to the Vatican.
And where's that?
Near Italy. In that area.
That's right. Yeah. Very near Italy.
Yeah, it is. Almost as near Italy as you could be.
Well done, Tim. We've had some fun learning fun facts from producer Tim. And why not give you an opportunity here to give us, how about a one-minute story of the Dallas Cowboys? Just tell us everything.
History of the franchise.
History of the franchise in 1 minute. Here's Tim.
The history of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know when they started. It's probably back. Well, when did football start? 40s? I'd say they started around the 40s or 50s, give or take. I don't remember World War II ever talking about football. I'd say the 50s. I never remember football.
So it was. I'm sorry. It was World War II talking about football?
Well,
let the man.
In that time, in the 40s. So I'd say they probably started somewhere around the 50s. They were in the second Super Bowl and lost to Green Bay. They were in an early Super Bowl. They really, as far as I know, weren't relevant until Staubach. He won a few with them. I think two Super Bowls. They weren't doing much in between. In the 90s, Jerry Jones bought them and hired, I almost said Jimmy Johnson. And then from there, they won three more Super Bowls with Aikman and the gang. And then they got Romo. And here we are.
He did it.
Once again,
it's uncanny. It's incredible.
12 for 12. He's basically been right.
Is there nothing he can't do?
Thank you, Tim. On here, Tim, you want to introduce our next guests and tell us everything you know about him? Give him a proper introduction.
Yeah, it's Intentional Grounding with Robert Wolanski and the guy who does the Cowboy updates.
This is like Killer. He knows
Todd
as
Archer.
Much as Killer.
Do you know what? You know what Robert Wolanski does for a living? How would you introduce?
Like if he was going to give a talk, if
he
was going to give a talk,
the paper. He knows a lot about Dallas. He does the Christmas Eve music show.
That's good. It works. That's great.
Wrong mic.
I'm in.
Wrong mic.
As always, he...
Red light.
I'm in.
Tim has got him all right.
It's fantastic.
I guess he did call you Todd Archer. So maybe. I thought he was the easy one. I was trying to focus on Wolanski. I figured you might not have much of a clue who he is. David Moore.
You can't. I know David Moore.
Wait, you're David Moore?
It's not what you signed on for?
Yeah, you signed on for Todd Archer.
Damn it. I have been misled.
Oh, no.
Hey, Tim, what causes an earthquake?
It would be the tectonic plates, and they shift, thus creating motion in the earth. And it's the plates. I don't really know other. That's my one explanation. I don't really have anything
else. What do you think is the cause of our current wave of earthquakes?
Locally.
I have no soapbox stance on it. What's it when they fracking?
Fracturing, but it's actually wastewater disposal is the byproduct.
Is that the real reason, though?
It is believed to be,
okay,
yes.
Okay, because, like, frack, what
you
is
can
it
say,
called? Fracturing?
You can say it's anecdotal evidence, but there's
like should, a, lot, is like
a
lot of a
evidence.
Hole,
we should call Joel. We should call George.
There has to be dirt moving.
We didn't ever have them, and now we've got them all the time. Tim, how do we stop this?
I'd probably stop digging holes in the earth so the dirt stops moving.
Should run for president.
Like, that's common sense. If there's exactly. a hole, it has to be filled so the dirt's going to move.
Facts. Fun facts from Tim.
Why are you?
It.
Why are you not hosting from Tim?
Totally agree.
Because I'm sweating. I would listen to this show very hard.
We found you. We claim you.
We learned that like in the 6 o'clock hour, and every segment is basically begun and ended with some Tim fun facts.
Tim, are you leaving now?
I am.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, you guys are toast.
Can you stay with John? Because I'd like to have you and John together.
Fahey explained things. I don't think you're going to lose there, really.
I'm sorry.
Why are you and John not hosting the show?
Yeah. We can all just leave.